Originally trained as an architect, by age 41, visionary designer Virgil Abloh transcended the boundaries between fashion, art, culture, politics, and music. He made history as the first black creative director for Louis Vuitton. Abloh died in 2021 of a rare form of cancer, a tumor on the heart. His latest exhibition, Figure of Speech, opens at the Brooklyn Museum July 1st, tomorrow, featuring pieces that have never been before seen, such as a social sculpture, a creative space for artists modeled after Virgil's designs. An article for Harper's Bazaar described it as, quote, a mid-career retrospective of Abloh's boundary-breaking oeuvre as an artist, designer, and creative polymath. Brooklyn is the final stop for this show that debuted in Chicago in 2019 and traveled to Atlanta, Boston, and Doha. Brooklyn Museum Director Anne Pasternak joins us to talk about the exhibition and the artist's career. Welcome back, Anne.
Allison, it is so good to see you and to be with you. And I just wanted to say that in a world full of awful news, it is so wonderful having you talk about all these artists and people I love. So thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad you could be with us and we have this platform. That's what it is for, to bring art to the world and bring people and introduce them to new people or have them enjoy people that they're already fans of. Let's talk about the exhibit. I'm actually a nuts and bolts kind of question. The exhibit began before Virgil passed away. How would you describe his involvement in the show?
You know, Virgil was very hands-on. He was always tinkering with things, learning, changing, you know, much like an architect or engineer would. I mean, it's true to his sort of training. And so he was extremely involved. And in fact, since the Brooklyn Museum was the last venue for this big traveling survey exhibition, he wanted it to be the blowout. He wanted it to be the biggest, and he wanted to really push the institution and his practice to get to this moment. So he was very involved. And of course, we never could have imagined that we would be opening the show without him with us. Yeah. But Virgil had a very devoted group of collaborators, and they worked really hard to make sure that his vision was realized with great integrity.
Yeah, Antoine Sargent has been in Les Cities. He's a writer and a curator. He published The New Black Vanguard. He was on the show for that book, I believe. What were some of the conversations like early on about how he wanted the exhibition to look?
You know, I have to tell you, I didn't always understand Virgil's practice. And it's one of the reasons why I was so interested. You know, he was such a kind of controversial figure. There was so much love and also debate you know, controversy around his work. Mm-hmm. And so I really dove into it, and I really dove into it with him. I wanted to understand more what his intentions were. And I realized that, you know, Virgil was absolutely a trailblazer, and he was passionate about kicking down the gates for opportunity for young people who look like him, young BIPOC youth. And I saw what he was doing as sort of this overall artistic practice. But at first, I didn't understand he saw it as an artistic practice. Hmm. Some people might think of him as a fashion designer. They might think of him as a DJ. They might think of him as an architect. They could think of him as many things. But really, our earliest conversations were about Virgil as an artist and how he saw being an artist as a person who has freedom to create in any way and any media they want. And that was pretty radical. And so I started to realize that, you know, really, Virgil was not an artist that you could put in the box. He denied and resisted any kind of frameworks like that. He was just like this explosively creative human being. Mm-hmm.
What does the title Figures of Speech mean? Where does it come from?
It's a really good question. So there are always, with Virgil, there's always a multitude of answers. So I'll try to give a few. So figures of speech, you know, the show has a big mural before you even come into the exhibition of some of those figures of speech, important people in our culture and our society that all have platforms, whether they're musicians or designers or artists or sports figures, that have platforms for speech. They are literally figures of speech, but also language was a very important part of Virgil's you know, practice. For example, you might have a women's purse that says sculpture on it. You know, you may have, I have a lanyard around my neck right now for my museum ID that says the sunroof of the Trojan horse. He was a poet, but but he was also taking very familiar objects and making them somehow or other new by using language.
My guest, hi, I'm flipping over to the phone. I think people can hear me. Maybe, Anne, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, I'm going to turn down my headphones so that we don't have feedback. Ah, remote work. It's a pleasure. My guest is Anne Pasternak. She's the director of the Brooklyn Museum. We're talking about Virgil Abloh, Figures of Speech. It opens tomorrow, July 1st. You know, I'm curious about design being a big part of his life. One of the first pieces featured in his college notebook was during his time at University of Wisconsin-Madison. How did his early interest reflect the work he produced before his death?
You know, Virgil was always drawing. He was sketching. He was, you know, making graffiti. He was designing. He's a lot like every young person, right? Or most young people. They're always making things. They're doodling, et cetera. And that, you know, that early practice continued to define who he was as an artist. You know, he really was almost like a graffiti writer in the sense that he would make his mark on anything. And he would say that he loved brands, and he loved using other people's factories to make his art. And he would really make his mark on anything, whether it was, you know, a Louis Vuitton bag or an IKEA rug or an album cover or whatever it was, he was making his mark. And so I think that sketchbook is actually an important place for us because it was about making the artist's mark.
Brooke Museum has pieces that were not included in the original exhibition, such as the social sculpture. Tell us about this structure. How long did it take to construct? You're laughing. You're like, oh, let me tell you about this structure.
Well, so first of all, social sculpture, for those of, you know, in the audience who don't know, is a term that was originated by the great artist Joseph Beuys. And the idea was to say that artists don't just make things, they can make things happen with people and community. And community was really, really important to Virgil. He always collaborated not only with legendary people like, you know, Kanye and Jay-Z. He collaborated with kids that on the street that he met, and he saw the spark of brilliance in them, right? And he wanted to nurture that. And, you know, because he wanted to kick down the gates of opportunity and creative industries and to really promote the idea that Black people can really own and control their work and influence culture in even bigger ways, he wanted to create an architectural environment, which is really a big wooden house that looks almost like Black, like African-American vernacular, Southern sort of architecture, right? But it would be a social space where young people, teens from Brooklyn and all over New York City could come and they could learn from great writers, great artists, great musicians, great poets, you name it. So the idea was that Virgil, of course, was going to program the space. But without Virgil with us, our teens and public programming department is programming it every single week for teens to have free programs and to create together.
How great is that also for the summer?
The best.
The best for summer, for kids who are looking for something to do and looking for an outlet and looking for inspiration. What a great idea.
Yeah, and they get to be a part of Virgil's vision and his exhibition.
What about music? It has to figure in here.
Absolutely, lots of music. In fact, there are two great big speakers designed by a genius of speaker design that actually just lives a few blocks, coincidentally, from the museum. You know, Virgil was all about bringing his community together, and one of the reasons why having the show at the Brooklyn Museum was so important to him wasn't just, you know, that he wanted his work seen in the context of global, you know, creative artistic excellence. And he loved the diversity and youth of our audiences. And also a lot of his collaborators are from Brooklyn. And so he really wanted to bring them all together in the social sculpture with the youth.
And what kind of work do we see of his in terms of album covers? You mentioned his, you know, his collaborations with Kanye.
So you'll see, for example, the metal plate that was used for the first album cover for, you know, a lot of people, that's like a holy grail. It's very exciting for them to see the original metal plate. And then you'll also see these album covers, which were also really flyers really distributed for his shows and his projects. And so, and you'll see lots of the speakers. The show actually opens with one of the last works he created, which was a collaboration with Braun. It's one of the most gorgeous speaker music systems you'll ever see. So there's a lot of music in the exhibition, but there's a lot of everything.
It's also clothing. I mean, there's the, there's a dress he designed for Beyonce.
You know, it's the clothing is among my favorite objects. I mean, I don't really have a favorite object because I really see his career as one thing. You know, it's like a total artwork, if you will. But, you know, across from Beyonce's dress is actually the outfit he made for Serena when she was, you know, winning one of her great titles. And she's, you know, it's like a little black top, but with a big, you know, flouncy black tulle skirt. And to me, that was all about black female beauty and power in a way that is, it's such a like humble object in a way, but on the other hand, it just changed the history of tennis and was such a celebration of black woman, female power and beauty that for me, it's one of my favorite objects.
We're talking to Ann Pasternak. She's the director of the Brooklyn Museum. Virgil Abloh, Figures of Speech, opens on Friday, July 1st. That's tomorrow. The good news is it's running all the way through January of 2023. You know, he had so many different collaborations. What pieces in the show, what collaboration do you really like in the show? Or when you, not use, I don't say like, that's not fair. One you'd like people to spend an extra 15 seconds in front of?
Oh my God, that's such a hard question, Allison, because, you know, this is, I'm not going to answer it, but I'm going to give you a different answer.
Okay,
I'm going to break the rules, Allison, you know me.
That's fine.
So what I would say is that this doesn't look like your typical fashion or design exhibition at all. And Virgil really wanted you to work for it. He wanted you to see his earliest work and to see how the themes that play out in his earliest work have continued to grow and flourish and be reinterpreted throughout. So, you know, we start, for example, with a recreation of his master's architectural thesis, which is a skyline basically of Chicago, but with his own made out of insulation material that you would get at Home Depot or something, but with his own building in it. And then his last work, of course, was the house that he built and designed for the Brooklyn Museum. So, you know, there are all of these ways which these themes continue out, the way community, the way collaboration, the way that black female empowerment plays out in his work throughout time, the way that he deals with racism in his work, and not a heavy-handed way, but it's all there. You look at the chains, you look at the zip ties, all sorts of things that are really there. And so you see it being interpreted, and it's one of the reasons why I see this almost as one body of work rather than, you know, here's a favorite painting.
I'm really excited to see it. It's rare that I don't get to see an exhibit before I interview a director, but it wasn't up yet before I had to leave New York. So I'm really excited. I'm glad it's staying till January, so I will get to see it. I also wanted something I just, you know, through my notes, the gift shop is called Church and State, which is hilarious, first of all. It's very funny because
especially right now.
Yeah, that's true. But the idea, you know, of like art and commerce, they should, you know, separation of art and commerce, but you call the gift shop Church and State, but I understand there's actually going to be very specific merchandise for Brooklyn. Is that right? For this show?
Yes. So first of all, let me say that almost the entire exhibition are on these tables that he designed specifically for the Brooklyn Museum venue.
Cool.
He wanted to kind of create a level playing field that whether he was making a sculpture or a sneaker or, you know, a musical system, whatever, it was all of equal importance. And they look like giant, almost fashion runways, right? And he insisted that the shop be a part of the exhibition because he wanted to really be honest, and I think appropriately so, about the conversation about commerce and to pretend that there isn't an art market, just like there's a fashion market or a design market, would be insane. So he did in fact make it part of the exhibition, and he designed lots of objects specifically for the Brooklyn Museum show. So, you know, hoodies and t-shirts and notebooks and all sorts of good stuff.
It opens tomorrow, Figures of Speech at the Brooklyn Museum. I've been speaking with its director, Ann Pasternak. Ann, always great to talk to you. Thank you for making time. I know it's really busy time right now.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here, Allison. Be well.